four bow. And first, a little prelude to warm it up. Then I'll do a piece called Svesania. This is Neapolitan, basically the period that is Carnival, or you call it Mardi Gras in New Orleans. So it's music basically for commedia dell'arte and kind of crazy stuff, and the street music. And I'll continue with a piece called Colazione. Colazione is also a street instrument, quite rough. It has like two or three strings. And this kind of just shows the character of street music. And it's kind of fun. You have these composers that do all this art music, and suddenly they step aside and show the rough and ready stuff that they kind of enjoy.
Oh, lovely. Well. This is La Romanesca. It's music by Olav Chris Henriksen. It's music for the Baroque guitar, the flute in Theorbo. That's what you're going to hear now, the Theorbo. And it's been such a treat hearing this music. We will continue, I'm sure, past the 5 o'clock hour. It's now 4:59. And here's more music by Chris Henriksen. Remember, this is WMFO Medford. Thank you. Chris Henriksen live right here on WMFO in Medford. And Chris, would you like to take a little short break, or do you want to jump into another piece?
So
it's up to you.
Well,
continue for a bit. See,
but do you want to chat for a minute? Because it's 4 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock, and we have lots to talk about, lots to play. And Chris, tell me about yourself. Go ahead.
So, well, I very much devoted myself to a life where I wanted to learn pretty much all about acoustic fretted plucked instruments. And my starting point, well, I started as basically a folk guitarist as a kid, and went through a short period of in the early sort of fusion days of the early 70s, electric stuff. But then I got interested in more the acoustic part of things, and went through a long stretch where I started learning some of the earliest music we have written for fretted instruments. Basically around 1500 we start to have notated music, and ended up with, sort of by chance, sort of going decade by decade from 1500 for 12 years up to I came back to contemporary music. And the fun thing for me with that was that you could really feel how things were new, how things changed, and you could see the progress in what people were doing, both technically with hands and so on with instruments, but also how harmonies changed, style changed, and so on. And it made for me feeling kind of what was avant-garde in it, mm-hmm. in a sense. And since then, I've also had fun with getting into early 20th century, like American music and the background, but coming from the world of notated music into the more sort of improvised styles and things like that, mm-hmm. rather than most people come to it from studying 78s and, you know, just the early recordings. So it's kind of fun feeling the prehistory to it and mm-hmm. coming into it from that angle. One big piece of luck I've had in life, and a big privilege, is that I've been allowed to study and perform and demonstrate a lot of the original instruments at the Museum of Fine Arts collection. Mm-hmm. Partly I specialize in knowing how to string historical instruments, so I've been able to put strings on them and get them up and going without being of any danger or harm to them.
I think I've asked you this in the past. Are guitars like violins, where they need to be played, and if they aren't played, the sound kind of gets a little dry or a little empty? Like violins have to be taken out of their case and played mm-hmm. on a regular basis. Are guitars the same way? Do they need to be played?
When they are played regularly, they do what we call, they will be opened up. And they get a warmer sound. Mm-hmm. Luthiers and scientists are trying to understand actually what is happening. And there's no debate about that. An instrument that has been played for a while kind of relaxes and sounds more open. What actually happens to it for that to be so, if it vibrates quite a bit, does that kind of make it a bit more elastic? Mm-hmm. Because when you take out an instrument that has not been played, you have a little idea where it's going to be. Mm. And also, if you get an instrument that is built so that it's very open, when you get it, it will go too far and it will lose the sound.
Is it in the wood, or is it in the strings, or is it a combination of the body and the strings? What when you say it's open up?
I think that it is a combination of two things. It's the wood, and it's also the player, that the player gets to learn what he can do with it. Mm-hmm. But still, you can have an instrument that somebody owns that they haven't done much with it, they're playing on it, and then you get a very good player who digs into it. They borrow it for a week, and when it comes back, it's a different instrument. So it has something to do with just using the capacity and having the instrument vibrate in full.
I see.
It's not got so much to do with the strings, and that the strings, you wear through them, you put on new ones, mm-hmm. and you don't have to open up the instrument again.
So it's more of the body of the instrument, the structure, the hollow body that with a box.
Box, yeah, just the way the wood vibrates. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, some people have a lot of elaborate theories. I haven't seen any kind of proof of it, mm-hmm. though. people have been trying out things, like they build two guitars as close as they can. One of them they put in a closet for a half year, and the other one they let somebody keep playing on a lot. Mm-hmm. And like you measure them scientifically before you put the one away and see how they sound. And then the one that's been played for a half year, when you take it out again, you take the two guitars, you measure them again and see how things are different between them. And you can really see on paper that they indeed do change. The one that is played changes quite a bit. So that's not a question. It's just why or what it is we're trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. It looks like you're gearing up to play something on the theorbo, and is that correct? Or did you want to play something on the lute?
I'll play something on the guitar.
On the baroque guitar.
Yeah.
I thought so. I had a suspicion, or mm-hmm. I had a feeling. What would you like to play? Something on written down here, or would you like to play something different? It's up to you.
So, I can play now by Roman guitar composer Ferdinando Valdambrini. And
the Toccata number one?
Toccata, yes. Toccata and an Alemana and a Quarenta. So,
but of course, yes.
So we get, again, a couple of dances with that.
Wonderful. Okay, this is Toccata number one by... Actually, it's Toccata number two, isn't it?
Yeah,
scratch that. It's Toccata number two, written in 1646 by Ferdinando Valdambrini.
Yeah.
Your man in mind. This is WMFO in Medford.
Thank you.
Very nice music there. That was Toccata number 2, performed by Chris Henriksen, right here on Acoustic Sailing. This is WMFO in Medford. And Chris, tell us your thoughts about playing in front of all the people you're going to play with. Like, do you feel different, like, when you play to a group of, say, dozens as opposed to playing to thousands? Do you play differently?
There are more sides to it. On one hand, sure, rooms are different. And basically, you know, for me, since I play acoustic instruments, the room itself is the sound box. You're playing the room. I mean, the instrument feeds sound to the room, mm-hmm. but you have to kind of sense what happens out there. It's mm-hmm. not just inside the instrument. It's the whole, everyone sitting inside basically a big sound box.
So doing a sound check is crucial.
It's crucial. A lot of people telling me that, you know, certain techniques that work in a room for 50 people, I just cannot play on the big stage because they're not going to hear it into the room.
Mm.
So things I might do, slurs, just pull with the left hand, but I have to go in a big room to just accelerate it out into the room.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. And on the other hand, for me, very much what's the main drive for me is I love the stories behind what's going on. I love the research, trying to find out about this music mm-hmm. and present it to people. So it's kind of enjoying that, you know, this is fun stuff. There's such variety. Some of it is very high quality art music. Mm-hmm. Some of it's more rough and ready, everyday music. Some of it's educational. But it's kind of fun to just hear the different levels and what was happening at the time and not just go for the most sort of artificial or high-level stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you do with these instruments require very close listening and very kind of a quiet environment. So you really want to focus. And unfortunately, a lot of music today is written or performed or heard in a white noise atmosphere where it's just in the background and it's beating away, it's repetitive, it's not like moments. It seems like there's a lot of like vignettes or little like tangents where you go off in different places and you can kind of linger there, mm-hmm. you know, and always listening closely.
Yeah, the virtuoso performers of the day mm-hmm. Were indeed brought in to play for like aristocrats and so on, and in very small contexts.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were in rooms with a lot of things going on, they were paid very well as performers, but not necessarily for the performance skills, but rather for the loyalty, because they would hear what was going on politically.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them became very much into intelligence and counterintelligence and the levels. It's kind of mind-boggling what's happening.
Hmm.
So it's kind of important because you have these small rooms with there's people discussing political things and the entertainer there, and he's all ears and hearing everything that's happening.
Hmm.
And on a few occasions, some of the musicians were very good at advice, and they actually arose beyond being musicians and became consultants for political things.
Hmm.
And they were rewarded big awards for that. And they still remained in service performing, but mm-hmm. they actually, the performance side was sort of a small thing compared to becoming an advisor to a prince or a king.
Yeah. It seems to me that a lot of music today doesn't go in the direction of a quiet sound. It's almost like, let's, you know, people get hit over the head with music rather than have music delivered to them in a quiet, subtle way. Do you find that true in terms of popular music?
Well, a lot of it's aimed at basically the arena size type mm-hmm. thing. And with the sound quality and so on, you cannot do a lot of detail.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there are, of course, like the Somerville Museum Concert Series, we're very much aiming for this kind of music where people come for detail. It's basically like being in a nice parlor and hearing music, being up close and having that experience. In the modern society, there is so much basic noise. And you listen to or read about descriptions of sound and music centuries ago, and you don't have that white noise underneath it. So they're talking about hearing things for big distances. And these instruments, we kind of feel them, they're super quiet, but to them they were definitely pronounced and loud enough. And they were not seeking for necessarily it to be louder. A change that happened in the 17th century is that they started to work with doing early stages of opera. And then they were starting to use a bit bigger rooms.
Right, and so, the drama element was very much pronounced in opera. It was very much sort of a spectacle. It was something where there was very high moments, very, you know, very deep emotional, like they emoted. The singer, the artist would emote quite a bit. I do know one listener, her name's Sarah, wrote she's enjoying the music, and I hope other people are enjoying the music out there. And send me a message or simply call 855-915-9636 and tell me your thoughts. Chris is ready to play another piece on Baroque guitar. What would you like to play, Chris?
Now I can play a piece by another piece by Lelio Colista. It's Passacai Dite Mariana. It's from a manuscript that actually surfaced in Brussels, but it's an international anthology of music, so they've chosen a French title on the piece. So Passacai is basically variations on the four-bar motif that keeps going on.
Beautiful. This is Colista, a piece by Colista, and it's performed by Chris Henriksen on WMFO Medford. Thank you. Chris, all I can say is if Eric Clapton is God, you are the Bishop of Rome. This is La Romanesca. It's Chris Henriksen, and I'm delighted to have him in the studio with me. It's sort of an extended acoustic sailing. The show's usually from 4 to 5. We're going all the way to 6 o'clock. Can you believe it? Trevor, where are you? Trevor, the 5 to 6 DJ, is not here, but guess what? We have Chris in the house, and that's all we need. Chris, what would you like to play now?
Okay, so another Baroque guitar composer, his name is Angelo Michele Bartolotti.
Bartolotti.
And Bartolotti. He got around in his day. He was originally, I'm not quite sure which town he was from in Italy, but he first got a job in Sweden, being guitarist and lutenist to Queen Christina. She's an odd figure in that she was queen for a short period of time until the 30 Years' War came to an end. And basically at that time, she gathered all the artwork and whatever she had pretty much looted in Europe and abdicated from the royal position. And first she traveled with her entourage of musicians and scientists and all of that to Paris and spent some time there, but then she settled in Rome. And she converted to Catholicism, so she was kind of a bit of a local hero on the religious scene. But she had all these musicians with her, and this is music that Bartolotti published when he came to Rome and was there. She was a great sponsor of music and art. For example, she was the first major sponsor of Arcangelo Corelli. So she had her imprint on the music world.
And so what is this piece of Bartolotti?
So it's first a fairly extended prelude. And then there's a brando, which is basically, in England you call it a brawl. It's a dance, a kind of a country dance. Pretty much sounds like a jig, actually.
Okay, true. Okay, Bartolotti, performed by Chris Henriksen, live in the studio on Acoustic Sailing. Thank you. Guitar by Chris Henriksen. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And your friends right here on Acoustic Sailing, WMFO. We'll be back in just a second. Well, actually, right after this tune. Enjoy this one, and then we'll go back to the live music with Chris Henriksen. Brothers Band. That's from their record Eat a Peach. And right now in the studio we have Chris Henriksen. He's playing the lute. He's going to play a piece by Gautier. And the piece is called Bataille. And it means battle. It was written in 1638. And it goes like this.
Yeah, the Pierre Gautier came to Rome as a lutenist to the French ambassador, and he put out a book of basically very, very fancy, delicate lute music. This piece doesn't go as delicate. It's a battle piece. They would do all kinds of crazy effects, and he's just showing off things he can do in it. And it's a battle, so it has all the noises and everything.
Okay, Chris.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
Thank you.
Beautiful stuff right there by Chris Henriksen. It's been a treat. If you want to hear more music by Chris Henriksen, can they find your music online, or do you have a website to go to?
Good question. Centaur is available through regular distribution. So the Guitar Royale, which is a CD playing the 1680 original guitar by Faubourg, and a guitar from about 1780 by Champion, which are both at the Museum of Fine Arts collection. And some of the music is close to the style, like there's music by Corbetta, which is another one of these Italian composers. That's actually the Museum Music label, but should also be available through Museum Music. Mm-hmm. And the Guitar of the North and the Music Solace to My Thoughts, those albums are Centaur.
Centaur. That's C-E-N-T-A-U-R, and then look up Chris Henriksen or Olav Chris Henriksen. And locally, you can hear him tomorrow at the Somerville Museum. It's a program called La Romanesca. It's early music afternoons at the Somerville Museum. Chris will be there tomorrow at 3 o'clock. That's right here in Massachusetts. That's Somerville, Massachusetts. He'll also be there, if you cannot make it for whatever reason, tomorrow in January, March, and April. Chris will be at the museum playing music. So look it up on the Somerville Museum website, or you can call 617-666-9810 for more information. Chris, it's been a delight hearing all this music and chatting with you. Any final thoughts?
Well, as far as this music goes, I've enjoyed the kind of variety from high art music through, like, this last piece. You have the fun thing that the author writes in this foreword that, well, to imitate cannon thunder, you take and pull all the strings. And then he says, and shows kind of the local flavor of it, if you have any questions about this, come to my house and I will explain this. So these books were clearly partly made for students to play and other people in town.
Oh, I love it. That's excellent. Okay, Chris, thank you so much. It's been a treat. Do you want to play any more, or should we go back into the music?
I think that I've gone through pretty much what I brought here today. So.
Okay, thank you very much. It leaves us with quite a great feeling, and thank you.
Chris, it's a pleasure to be here. Yeah.
Chris Henriksen, live on Acoustic Ceiling. This is WMFO Medford.
Of a fantasy, laughing at the sunrise like he's been up all night. Ooh, slipping and sliding, what a good time, but now have to find a bed that can take this way. always seem like you're leaving, when I know the other one just a little too well. Oh dear lady, won't you stay with me just a little longer? You know, it always seem like you're leaving.
Egyptian reggae. Before that, it was the Violent Femmes with Good Feeling. And before that was lots and lots of music by Chris Henriksen. It was Olav Chris Henriksen. He was in the studio playing live, and it was a treat to have him here with me. So stick around for Savoir Faire. He's coming up in just a minute. Boy, remember Pax et Lux, that's peace and light. This is Tufts University Freeform Radio, WMFO Medford.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers.